The Cat Attack Podcast. Kerr's Hire, local for 40 years.
This is the Kerr's Hire Cat Attack Podcast, the wearing Barney rubble, I think, a bit of Barney rubble. Four on the dangle, the Cats have lost, including two at home. We haven't said that for a long time. And look, one quarter of footy was very, very costly. That second quarter, they had their pants pulled down and there was a bit of sort of Stormy Daniels spanking going on,
You've
wasn't there?
You've got to move on. To the point you actually, I inadvertently put Daniels storming past the call.
You did too, Kingy. I liked it. It was very, very good. And I'd always chuckle when I think of being lightly sort of brushed.
No.
No, with a magazine with your own face on it. Anyway, look, the Cats got lightly brushed on the weekend. And look, they dominated the last quarter, 24 inside 50s to 5, and could only kick two goals. It was a disappointing performance.
What is it with blokes called a Lear? Inside of the
defensive
setup.
Yeah, it was a good mark. He took two. But two absolute rippers.
It was like, you know, they used to kick it to Alir all the time. Now they're kicking it to Leek-A-Lear.
Yeah, he's an athletic beast, that Leek-A-Lear. Played well, made a couple of mistakes, but as young players would. It was disappointing, Kingy, in that, is it disappointing or my gut feeling is we're 11 rounds in. We've got a sample size where we can look. The Cats are a middle of the road team.
But they always were.
Oh, that's what we said going in. But we were flattered by the 7-0 start.
Correct. But
we beat a lot of bunnies.
And yes, correct. And I think we were saying that people were happy to say, "Oh, you blokes know nothing after 7-0." But when they were 7-0, all seven of those clubs, other than Carlton. And maybe, and obviously Brisbane, we didn't expect was going to drop off the perch the way it has. But other than, of the seven the Cats have beaten, Carlton are the only ones playing finals, we suspect.
Possibly, yes.
Brisbane aren't.
No, they were putrid on the weekend.
The Dogs might sneak in.
Brisbane
aren't playing finals.
The Dogs might. The only sides the Cats have beaten aren't winning the premiership. Yep. They might fall into the finals.
Carlton will more than
fall. As Geelong will.
Yeah.
Geelong's start will ensure that they are roundabout for the remainder of the season. Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
But Geelong's finish also ensures. You've still got North Melbourne.
Yes.
West Coast.
Oh, wet toast.
Yeah, in the last round.
Yes.
Hawthorn.
Oh, well, they're going okay.
Yeah, but
Geelong were playing Hawthorn this week. I wouldn't have a mortgage on the Cats. I'll give you the tip.
It's a big mortgage too, Ben.
It is. It's a monster.
But they, 7-0, flattered.
Some things you want to be big, don't you?
Yeah.
In your life.
But not your mortgage.
No.
Not your mortgage.
No. What would you like to be?
What would I like? Big? I'd like a big yacht.
Would you?
Yeah. But not with the big mortgage that comes with a big yacht.
No, yeah, right.
So, yes. No. What do we got this week? Richmond.
Richmond, Saturday night.
If
they beat Richmond, they'll burn the old sticky red sticky end down.
If they don't beat Richmond.
If they don't, No Bolton. The Cats obviously minus a few.
Yeah, they'll lose Blitzarves and Clark.
Yeah, that'll hurt. No Guthrie. Guthrie back?
No.
And Dangerfield out as well. So the midfield, who's going to be running around in the midfield? Do you think they might get sort of Graham Landy back? Do you think they could get Kane Tenace back?
I reckon Mitch Hardy might actually get a game.
Do you reckon he'll play?
He's got it, doesn't he?
I mean, he has to, doesn't he?
You've got to.
36 touches on
the weekend. So you drafted him 12 months ago.
Oh, yeah.
And you haven't played him.
Right, well, look, it's easy from the cheap seats, Kingy, okay?
But our seats aren't cheap.
No, they're not.
They're sort of more middle class.
Do you think... I think the Cats have maybe... And people will say I'm harsh. Well, whatever, I'm allowed to be harsh. Do you reckon they've got a bit cute with their management?
No. No, I'll defend it.
What about their selections then? Which is management,
Some of the selections have been interesting in terms of how they've used players. Like, Brandon Parfitt wasn't managed out of the Gold Coast game.
He was dropped.
Yeah. But he should have been playing.
Put in that he was dropped.
Yeah.
Right. So, okay, just going on the weekend, and I think there's been a few others where I've sort of scratched my head a little bit, but the weekend, their midfield gets their pants pulled down and gets a spanking, okay? That's fine. They played poorly. Everyone's allowed to play a poor game. But their midfield, I think that was a culmination of 3 or 4 weeks of your midfield struggling, and then they had a howler.
I still can't work out why Bowes was the same.
No, well, hang on, let me finish. So Guthrie's out, they drop Parfitt out of a midfield that had its pants pulled down.
Yep.
They don't bring in a midfielder. They bring in three key position players and Mitch Duncan, who can't play midfield. No. He's not capable of playing midfield anymore. I'm confused. And then you've got Bose, who, okay, Bose is not a reincarnation of Maurice Rioli, but he can at least be another decent-sized body in the midfield. He's the sub. I'm getting more confused. So you've got Zach Tui playing, who can't play in the midfield. Where does he play?
On a wing or off halfback.
Well, they brought Duncan in to play off halfback, which allowed Holmes to play in the midfield. I was confused about the whole setup of that. And then Bose came on in the last quarter and actually gave them something.
Yeah, 5 disposals.
Would have been nice if he was there for all four quarters.
Well, and I said off air before we started recording, I think Geelong win if he plays.
Well, he's not that... I get where you came from. I don't think you could definitively say they would have won if Jack Barr... I mean, he's not Patrick Cripps.
But why wasn't he injected into the contest earlier?
Yeah, sitting on your hands. I don't know. The midfield, Finn Callahan, Tom Green...
Peatling?
And then what was going on with Toby Green? He had it like nine... Didn't he have 19 times in the first half?
Yep.
Or 16 times? Playing half forward? Like, Toby Green's a gun... But he's not generally a huge possession accumulator. He'll hurt you with 13 or 14 because he'll kick 3 or 4. Why were we allowing him to get the ball so much? They had Tom Stewart on him. Tom Stewart's a gun. Tom Stewart ain't the sort of bloke I want playing on the best forward of the opposition.
They needed a lockdown to go to him. And yeah. Do you know who would have been perfect for Toby Green on the weekend? And he was sitting in the stands.
Mark O'Connor.
Yep.
He's another one they dropped out. He's not my favourite player, but... He'd been going okay.
Yeah.
And then we put, in the end, it went from Max Holmes at one point was on. My God, if I'm sitting in the box and I look down the forward line when there's a restart of the game after a goal and I see Max Holmes standing on Toby Green, I'm shitting my pants. That is only going to end in one way, and that is going to end in Toby Green doing something that he shouldn't be doing. In the end, in the final half, who do we put onto him? Cole Jasny. How many times he kicked the goal?
Yeah. Which was luck because of the ricochet.
Oh, the old Rico, yeah.
That was one of their
five inside 50s and they kicked the goal.
It was a ricochet from an Irishman.
It was, yeah.
Ironic.
I'm scratching my head at selection. I'm scratching my head at personnel decisions about where they're playing. And I think if... The midfield the Cats put out there on Saturday night is in the bottom six in the competition.
Yep.
And they actually did well to only lose by less than a goal.
And that's the other thing, though. Geelong have lost by 8, 6, and 4 out of the last four, and are 7 and 4.
Because they've got a good defence, but their defence is increasingly under more and more pressure because the midfield is getting beaten.
The ball's coming in at a more rapid rate. It was 57 inside 50s for the Cats. 42 for the Giants.
24 in the last quarter.
Yep.
24 of their 57 in the last quarter.
But the 42 the Giants had...
They had 37 of them till three-quarter time.
Correct. And they scored from about 50% of them?
Yeah, at one point. I mean, they kicked 6-5 to 1-2 in the second quarter.
What did you say? Was it three-quarter time? How many? 37.
Well, they were 37 because they only had 42 and they had 5 in the last quarter.
The Giants had 22 scoring shots.
Yeah.
So you're running it almost...
Because the midfield 60%. Isn't capable of putting pressure on. The ball's getting whizzed down there too quickly. And I don't care if you've got Matthew Scallop, Bruce Dool, Ross Denshaw.
Ross Henshaw or David Dench.
That's it. It was a cross, but it was a hybrid. It was a Denshaw.
Ross Henshaw and David Dench.
Yeah, that's it. They were both good defenders.
North Melbourne.
Very good defenders. Anyway, the ball's just whizzing down there. And, you know, that's part of the problem. One of the reasons the Cats, I reckon, are struggling. They're not winning. They're not struggling. They're in games. And we spoke about it to Tom Stewart after the game. I asked the question. It's hard to be sort of analytical straight after they've lost. I mean, it's not really the time for it. But the Cats' inability to stop the opposition from scoring heavily when they have the momentum is really hurting them. And that is the midfield.
Yep.
That's the midfield's problem. Because, I mean, it was 6-1. I mean, the week before, Gold Coast did as they wanted. In the week before that, Port Adelaide in the first half did absolutely as they liked. There was times against Carlton when they couldn't stop the run on. And the good sides have ability to clog it up a little bit and only maybe limit, if you've got 15 minutes of momentum against you or 20 minutes of momentum against you, only have 2 or 3 goals scored. Geelong are having 5, 6, and 7 scored. And it's too big a bridge to make up.
Yeah. So they've got to make 2 changes definitely.
Yeah.
They'll get Rowan back.
Well, yeah, well, that's not exactly thrilling me with sort of, you know, he's back, but yeah. I'm not sort of suggesting. I mean, look, he's okay. He's missed a lot of footy. He's in and out. That might be handy, but you're bringing him in. You've already stacked up forward. You're not bringing in an area of need. No. He ain't going to play in the midfield. That's the only place he can't play.
Is Stanley coming in for Conway?
I wouldn't be. If Conway is good and pulled up well, he didn't play a full game. Yep, he had his pants pulled down, unfortunately. It's all part of the learning experience for the kid. There is no way known I would be bringing... If you think you're bringing Stanley into upgrade, I think you've lost. You need to take more tablets.
Blitzhouse and Clark stiff.
Did they try the good bloke defence?
No. I think they didn't even go to the tribunal.
I think they should have. I think they should have said, look, we'll have the tribunal around for a barbecue and we'll provide everything, including some lovely pork sausages that have got a little bit of spice in them. And then...
bit of pork and fennel?
Yeah, you can have fennel.
All right. Pork and apricot?
Fennel's not right.
Actually, I'll tell you
leek is not right either.
Pork and apple. The old pork and... Oh, yum.
Sausages?
Yeah, yum.
What, a bit of Granny Smith in your sausage?
Yeah. Very nice.
Exactly. You tried that, have you?
I have.
I'm not a big fan of fennel. But look, stiff, yes. The way... You're not surprised anymore with what goes on, unfortunately. And it's usually... And you were saying, Kingy, that the AFL are throwing up Steve McBurney this week to the media, which is very, very, very and highly unusual.
Yep.
They are under siege.
Well, that's to do with the adjustment to the holding the ball rule.
Which seems to have gone from prior opportunity of 0.0 seconds to prior opportunity of 15 minutes. You can actually have the ball, go off and make a cup of tea and be actually tackled the whole time while the kettle's boiling, you're jiggling your Lipton,
play
and then
on.
Come back out and they just handball it to somebody.
Play on.
It's extraordinary.
Yeah. So
there's more than that though. There's and what about, we heard that obviously now umpires, we found out that umpires have been coached during the game. That is
because we're over umpired. We have too many. Four umpires is too many.
I agree. I can't believe that they're being coached. That is changing their interpretation from how they went out with a plan or some plans that are put in place during the week. Okay, let's focus on this, whatever it is. I'd love the clubs to know what that is. Mm. We're going to focus on this week and we're going to clamp down on it. I don't know do they put that out to clubs?
They would.
So then...
The clubs would be notified.
So if the umpire makes a howler in the first 5 minutes, A, he's probably going to be a little bit gun-shy.
Yep.
B, it's going to change the way he thinks about that decision going forward. What the hell?
Yep.
This is...
But is that any different to
This is like umpy gate.
Is that any different to a player making a mistake early in the game?
But he hasn't got the... Yeah, but that's different, though. He hasn't got the coach in his ear saying to him during the game, don't be doing that again. Mm. Or, can you imagine...
Well, they send the runner out, though.
Yeah, but it's a different philosophy. They're playing the game. These guys are adjudicating the game. They're seeing the game very differently. There's going to be skill errors, and umpires are going to make mistakes, but I don't know that you should be actually coaching them during the game.
So how do you improve the umpiring, Benny?
How do you improve it? You encourage players who have played the game to umpire. You put money into it. You make it that it's actually lucrative. It is lucrative, but make it to the point where it is very, very lucrative. You get rid of the bounce. Like, the fact that good umpires can't umpire because they can't bounce, please. It's a blight on the game, the bounce. Get rid of it.
Yep.
We're the only game that starts off with something that goes pear-shaped that's actually done by an officiating member of the game.
Hmm.
Oh, hang on, we'll bounce the ball. Let's have our big showcase. Oh, the ball lands in the North Shore. We're going to go and let's get it back. What other game can you tell me on the planet would have a start to the game like that?
No, none.
Zero.
No.
So why do we bother having setups in the midfield when the ball just bounces anywhere? And people go, oh, it's an oval-shaped ball. Yeah, of course it is. In general play it is. But when you've got an officiating member of the game starting that play, it shouldn't be that he can bet. Why does he just throw it to somebody?
Yeah.
What's the difference? Why are we not doing that? The bounce is just crap. Get rid of it. Shit.
Okay. So there will be two changes. I suspect.
So you're telling me Rowan's in?
Oh well, he's a test, but I suspect.
Surely Hardy gets a crack.
You would think. We'll find out.
Parfitt's got to come back in.
Yeah. Well, Parfitt was okay in the. I watched a bit of the VFL last week.
Well, I don't know that it should go solely on that. Let's maybe.
But can I just sort of put a caveat on that? when a player does go back to the VFL and finds the pace of the game that bit slower, a couple of times Path was in the right spot if he had been playing AFL or put the ball in a spot playing AFL. You're playing with blokes, you know, when you've got 10 teammates who are part-timers.
GFL players.
Yep.
Oh, that's right. And that's why, I mean, if you put Grind Myers back to the twos, he'd probably go well, but he probably doesn't get the ball as much as he does in the AFL.
I liked Connor O'Sullivan's game last week.
Yeah, but they're not putting him in.
No. I'll tell you the other one who's been playing some really good VFL footy, and I did say this on here, he's only breaking case of emergency, is that Emerson Jekka that they got in from Hawthorn.
Yeah.
That they picked up. He actually moves really nicely, but they don't need him.
Keep developing him. They've got to bring in midfield, so I would have thought Hardy and Parfitt. I'd be bringing in Hardy to have a look at him, and I'd be bringing in Parfitt ahead of Gary Rowan.
Yep. Because your forward line's got enough.
Well, you've got Stengel, Myers, Close, and Ollie Henry.
Yep.
You don't need, well, yeah, you just, around you don't necessarily
Hawkins
need.
And Cameron.
No, you've got, yeah, it's all sorted up there.
Yep. Do you want to answer some questions, Benny?
I've got to just do something, Kenny.
What do you got to do?
I've done some research.
What have you done?
So we're 11 games in.
Yep.
The Cats are surely starting to talk about list management.
Yes.
And not just for this year, but the coming period. Yep. If you're smart, you're thinking, yeah, okay, we're going to be in the finals race. Are we a genuine premiership contender? They will say, oh, if we get into the finals, we are. Yep. I would argue that...
Because they said that last year. They still thought, Chris Scott still thought if they made the eight that they could give it a legitimate shake.
And did you think that was folly?
Yes.
Yeah, so anyway, this is just my list, okay? I've got a use-by-date list.
Yep.
I've got a core of core players.
Yep.
And I've got a young brigade.
Okay.
So these are the guys in the next 1 to 4 years who won't be at the footy club.
Yep.
Well, and you'll say some are. I'll tell you, if these guys, some of these guys were still relying on them at 35, we're in big trouble. So Hawkins?
Gone.
Duncan?
Gone.
Tui?
Gone.
Blitzarves?
Gone.
Cam Guthrie?
Yep.
Gone. Tom Stewart?
I think
he's 31.
Yeah, I think Stewart can play.
In 4 years, yeah.
He'll play to 35.
Possibly, but... If you're relying on him, you're in Barney Rubble. Yeah. Atkins?
Gone.
Bewes?
Definitely gone.
Jeremy Cameron? 35 again.
Yep.
Dangerfield?
Yep.
Collar Jasny?
Yeah, Collar, I reckon Collar might be, as much as he said no, I think he's a candidate to be a senior player when Tassie starts.
Rowan?
Gone. He'll be probably gone at the end of this year.
Stanley?
Probably gone at the end of this year.
So the irony there, King, is that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. 12 of those players are senior players.
Yep.
Busey's the only one who hasn't played seniors this year.
And they're all premiership players.
Yep. So there's more than half your team in the next one. Some of those guys will go next year.
Yep.
I mean, the thing about this is that the Cats were happy, Chris Scott was happy to make really hard calls on Steve Johnson, Jimmy Bartel, Paul Chapman, Joel Corey,
Josh Hunt,
he's
Stokes.
Like a benchmark 58 compared to those blokes.
Yeah.
We've still got him on the list.
Yeah.
The core, unfortunately, is a list that's a fair bit smaller. I'm talking about guys who have got a few runs on the board, mid-20s.
Yep.
Grind Myers.
Yep.
Brad Close.
Yep.
Jack Bowes.
Yep.
Question mark. I'm not sure who Bowes is, but he's Zach Guthrie.
Yep.
Jack Henry.
Yep.
Mark O'Connor.
Yep.
Still not convinced, but Stengel, yep. If he stays. And Parfitt, if he stays.
Yeah.
So if Stengel doesn't re-sign, Parfitt goes. I'm not sure about Bowes. You've got about four or five players there.
Yeah, Bowes is on a three-year deal.
Yeah, I know, but I'm not sure he's good enough.
Yeah, well, he's going to see the three-year deal out.
So but that's your core of that's not exactly blowing your hair back, no, is it?
But the kids.
They're not kids.
No, but you've got a kids list.
Yeah, so the kids list, the young brigade
that
we're going forward with, Holmes,
yep.
Bruin, Jai Clark,
yep.
Ollie Henry,
yep.
Conway, Dempsey,
yep.
O'Sullivan,
yep.
Mullen, question mark. I'll put him as a young, even though he's not
young,
but he's inexperierced. Yeah. DeConing,
yep.
Shannon Neal.
I'm not upset about that list.
No, that list is okay. No man's land, Sean Manor, Mitch Hardy.
Yep.
They're in no man's land.
Yep.
What are they doing? Like, they're mid-20s, not in the team.
Yeah,
not sure where they're going.
Yeah.
So it's a concern that, I mean, look, you look at Collingwood, Scott Pendlebury at 30, like 400 years old, he's a bit player for them. Very good, but a bit player. He's not required to be the best player every
week. You didn't have Closey on that young list.
Yeah, I did. I had him on the core. Oh, I didn't have Ted Closey. I haven't seen enough. I didn't put any of the draftees, bar Connor O'Sullivan.
Yep.
I didn't put any of those kids in. So, look, some of them jump up great.
Yep.
But I don't know enough about them to have them on any sort of list.
So, Closey from a couple of years ago, yep. Oscar Murdoch.
Yeah. I didn't put them in. I don't.
Nevitt?
Yeah, well, where's he? He can't get a game. He hasn't played this year at all.
15 seconds against
Adelaide. Oh, that's right. He did too. It was a quality 15 seconds. See, there's another one. I don't understand. Get him in. Get him some game time. But the problem we'll have, King, that's why I asked the question before, is it a good thing to be in the finals race? And you'd have to say yes, but it also might skew your selection decisions. Yep. If you're going with I'm just using an example, if you go with a Tui over a Nevitt,
yep.
Or if you're out of the finals race, your ladder position dictates that, you're going with a Nevitt over Tui.
The other thing is, too, it skews where you might end up with a pick at the end of the year too.
Yeah.
If you scrape into the finals, you're ending up with a pick that might, depending on academy selections, etc., you might end up with pick 13, 14, 15.
And you're missing out. I mean, you just can't believe it. Do you reckon Harley Reid would have rejuvenated North Melbourne?
Yep.
They won a meaningless game against Gold Coast and it cost them Harley Reid. Mm. If you don't think that, you know, tanking is potentially be good for your footy club, you're an absolute fool. A fool, Rhodes, fool.
Right. Do you want to answer some questions now?
Yes, I love questions.
You love questions. All right. This is off the KFC X, Benny.
Oh, how many X's?
Just the one. Right. Derek, call me...
Prefer the one that's got the three.
Call me naive, but I still believe they will be back.
Who?
Derek, about the Cats.
Back where?
Oh,
look, they've got some top-end talent. They've got enough... They're well-coached. They've got enough talent to be in the mix, and we've seen that. Three of the last four losses have been by less than 10 points, but... I just don't see them pushing some of the better sides. They just don't have the midfield capable of pushing the sides with elite midfields.
Inability to have danger and guff on the park keeps exposing the next level of mids who haven't been able to keep the manic pressure going.
Yep.
Three close losses hurt, no panic. Muller needs to stay inside. Like to see more of Neil as well. Big upsides, that's from Cameron Vag.
Well, yeah, I agree. Neil, I thought Neil looked pretty, you know, looked okay in the ruck.
Just got to take these marks.
Yeah, look, that'll come, though. He's getting himself into good positions. He just needs game time. He's going to have some crap games. If you gave him a 20-game season and you got five good games out of him and five average ones and 10 ordinary ones, you'd probably take that. Mm. But it gets a season under his belt. I really like him. He's one, but they'll drop him out because they won't play him with Hawkins. I know they played him last week, but I don't know.
That won't be a regular.
I don't think so. No.
Troy, why do we wait until the game is out of reach to turn up the pressure? The fight backs show when we play our best, we can be the best, but that seemed to only activate our best pressure when way behind.
Yeah, well, that's the momentum of the game. And when you're playing good teams, you will have the momentum against you at certain points in the game. It's how you stand up. And look what happened in the last quarter. GWS withstood 24 inside 50s and conceded two goals. Geelong had, I think it was 19 or 20 inside 50s against in the second quarter and conceded six. The difference.
If Brad Close's soccer off the ground isn't given as touched in their 8-3, are we talking differently this week?
Oh, purely based on their win-loss, I wouldn't be. Some people probably, you know, start marching ahead of the band, but no, I wouldn't have been. I think, yeah, they're They need Dangerfield back firing. They need Cam Guthrie firing to be even close to some of the better teams.
Can I take this one? This is from McCowley. Four losses on the trot has me booked in for a frontal lobotomy. Ooh. Can we get a Gary Ablett senior story just to lighten the mood? Yes, I've got one.
Have you really?
Walking down Jeringhap Street yesterday.
Did you see the great man?
I did. Had a chat with him. Tap and go transaction on his... parking his car on one of the machines on Jeringhap Street.
What did you say to him?
I just... saw him and he was limping about. I said, "Oh, you all right, Gary?" And he said, "Oh, no, I hurt my foot playing golf yesterday. I'm just struggling a little bit
golf."
With it. Yeah, he goes, "Oh," and he goes, "Do you play?" I said, "Yeah, I like my golf." And he goes, "Oh, it's good fun. I go and play with young Gaz all the time. We go down to Belly and play the par three."
Really?
So I had a quick chat with
him. Did you ask him about anything about foosball?
No.
Did you ask him to recount the time he stood on Gary Peart's head?
Yeah. Which is almost...
I've got a Gary Ablett story, which you know.
Yeah.
And this has been told on K-Rock, I reckon, that yeah. When Clint Bizzle made his debut, this is supposedly true. There may be some mail on it, but anyway, who cares? But anyway, Clint Bizzle debuted the number 9. They reckon that... And he ended up marrying Jennifer Adams.
Yeah.
So Clint explodes through the banner, and he saw his magnet in the forward pocket, so he trundles down to the forward pocket and he's waiting for the ball to be bounced and he hears someone yell at, "Hey, fella!" And he just got the shoe away with the fan, you know, the get away to my... And it was Gaz. He didn't know his name, for starters, and he just told him to move from his space because he was going to just absolutely destroy someone. So that apparently did happen.
So I'm Quinn. Gents, how do you individualise the effort, different weapons of Bruin, Clark, Bowes, Hardy and Nevitt so that the great unwashed like me can get a handle on each of their strengths? Well, Bruin is a clearance beast. He finds the footy at the source.
And his skills, the game's, you know, he's getting more experienced and he's got more composure.
Yeah. He looks comfortable.
He's going to be a very, very solid citizen for quite some time.
Clark?
Jai Clark. I think Jai Clark, his one wood will be clearances and good vision. We've seen it a little bit. He just needs to get to 50 games. But he's tough. He wins the ball, and I think his skill level, a bit like Tanner Bruin, once the game slows down for him a little bit, we've seen glimpses, just his ability to feed the ball out. I reckon that'll be his one wood.
Bowes?
Well, I'm not sure about Bowes. He doesn't have great leg speed. He's sort of the bloke that if you've got a really good team and he's like your sort of sixth banana in the midfield... He could play a role. If he's got to go up a couple of bananas and be the third banana or the second banana, he's not capable of doing that. I think he's probably... I honestly couldn't tell you what I think he's the best attribute of his game is. He's not quick. He doesn't kick a lot of goals. His skill level is okay, but it's not blowing your hair back. Maybe clearances, maybe around the footy. He can inject himself, but that's my point about him. I don't know that he... If he's one of your core players there, I don't know that that's going to happen long term.
Hardy?
Well, I don't know.
No, he just wins
the
footy.
He gets the ball a lot. Yep. But he's one-paced, isn't he?
Yeah, he's not quick.
That's the problem. That's probably why they've been reticent to bring him in, because the midfield already is a bit one-paced with Atkins, with Clark, with Bowes, although he was the sub last week, Parfitt. They're not quick. So that's probably one of the things that's held him back from getting a game.
Nevitt?
Well, I like Nevitt. I think he's something that's a point of difference to those blokes because he's 193. Yep. A lot of those blokes aren't tall. Yep. Geelong need to get speed and they need to get size in the midfield. So he's one that he's a big boy. He's Joel Corey sort of dimensions. Can mark the ball. Good mark. I don't understand why he's not playing, to be honest with you.
Edmund 59, should Hawkins retire this week?
No, that's easy to say, but no, you're not going to do that to him and...
He goes out on his terms.
He does, and you've earned the right for that, and it may frustrate some people, but when you've played for 400 years and kicked as many goals as he has, and he's just a balance now probably of getting near some game along with Tommy Hawkins.
Nuffy from Corio, Kingy, Benny, enough here. Don't think it's time to panic. Cats lost three games under 8 points and did a Ben Graham on the other. Let's not go all Pontius Pilate and have some faith. Cats have more chance of losing this week than Benny listening to Brother Howe at Assembly. Brother Tom Howe, who was the principal of St Joseph's College in the 80s.
He was, old Brother Howe. Old Brother Howe, yeah, geez. We used to have we probably can't go down that path.
No, Benny, I reckon we move on to Damien Tedesco.
Tedesco.
Not a great 4 weeks, that being said.
I wonder
said,
whether Damien has watched that. You'd be able to Google it. Just Google it.
It from?
From Family Ties.
Right, okay.
An episode of Family Ties, Mr. Tedesco.
Right. Now, that being said, lost the last three games by just a goal. Don't think panic yet. Surely it's Hardy gets panic. A call up along with Parfitt and Manor. Do you think we keep both Neil and Conway in, or does one go out?
Oh, yeah.
Well, Neil's the one most likely to go out.
I think this week you'd hope, Kingy, that the selection isn't going to be pivotal to the result.
Yep.
I think last week it was. And I think they pulled the wrong rein. But this week, you would hope that they could probably find a way. Shea Bolton's not playing. Some of the Richmond players have not the players they were. You don't want to take any game lightly. But I don't think selection is going to... So I'd be loving if they kept... I'd want Conway to play another game under his belt against Toby Nankervis.
Yep.
Great experience for the kid.
And then Stanley back for Grundy.
Possibly. It depends how Conway went. Yep. And then I'd love to keep Neil in, but whether or not they do that, I'd...
Neil's not going to Sydney. You're not playing Neil Hawkins and Cameron on that.
Well, the only thing there, well, you get the ball inside forward 50. Tommy McCartan, if he's not back, very undersized.
But if it hits the ground, it's getting swept out of there.
Well,
and you get hurt going the other way.
Well, you sort of got to weigh up with the pros and cons of actually being, of having that tall forward line.
Ethan, the drop-off is going to hit hard. We just do not have the young talent to keep our sustained success up. I know it's been said for years, but it really feels like we're teetering on the cliff at this point. We weren't 4 weeks ago.
No, but we kept saying they hadn't beaten anybody in the eight, and they... Yeah, I mean, look, talking before about panic, nobody's panicking, but you also have to be realistic of where they're at. And against Port Adelaide, against GWS, against Carlton at times, against I know they Melbourne. Won that game, and against Melbourne, their midfield was soundly beaten.
All right.
That's a trend over more than a month.
Nick touches on that. Six wins against bottom eight teams and the other one, lucky one against a dreadfully inaccurate Carlton, despite close losses. Does the ladder position currently flatter Geelong and where we're really at? Well, the Cats are now dropped to sixth.
Oh, they're down there, yeah.
That's probably where they are.
I think they're a sixth to tenth team.
Yeah, I had them finishing tenth at the start of the year.
And the start will get them probably into the finals. And you mentioned that they're finished to the year, but each time they've... I mean, I know people say they haven't lost by much. They haven't, but they've lost at home. They've lost twice at home, which is unusual. If Geelong had a loss by in that fashion up in Sydney, and they lost to Port Adelaide in that fashion in Adelaide, you'd probably have a different take on it.
Excuse it.
But it's actually happening at home, and the fortress that once was GMHBA Stadium ain't no more.
Trent Woodall, up to round seven, we had player consistency. Played Melbourne, we started resting. Parf, danger, injured, etc. Lost a game and the rut set in. Parf has not recaptured earlier form, slightly self-inflicted. Scott has outthought himself, who needs a break after 7 weeks.
Can you read that again?
Up to round seven, we had player consistency. Played Melbourne, we started resting. Parf, danger, injured. Lost a game and the rut set in. Parf has not recaptured earlier form, slightly self-inflicted. Scott has outthought himself, who needs a break after 7 weeks.
I'm not against that theory. I don't know if Parf at form. I mean, he was okay. He was quite good. He might have played one game that was a bit off, but I thought he'd been okay. We spoke about it at the call. I was surprised he was out. I do agree. I think there's been a bit of outsmarting and outwitting and this managed and all this sort of cabage and in, guys in and Stanley in and Tui in and then other players out, and I thought the selection of last week was very costly.
Premiers, a slippery contested night game, and Parfitt O'Connor dropped while Bose is the sub off the back of getting destroyed out of the middle for 3 weeks straight.
No, I said that before.
Nice one, Scotty.
I think there's something to that. I honestly think that is one of the reasons the Cats lost. Mm.
And Dave Twist touches on team cohesion, the difference between rounds 1 to 6 to round 7 to 11, and that's what we've just touched on as well. Let's have a look at what's come off Big Footy.
Oh, Big Footy.
Plenty there, Benny, as
Ooh,
well.
Big Footy.
Jack Bowes, what's his strength or his weapon? Well, we did touch on that a bit earlier. We're not exactly sure. The clearance is probably his best work. Don't see what value he brings to the team or how he's in our best 23, especially with a fit Guthrie, a fit Dangerfield, and someone like Hardy banging down the door. Do the coaches see something the fans don't? Or is there an element of pursuing him, persisting with him just because we got pick 7 as a freebie in the trade?
Bowes? Yeah, I'm honestly not convinced, to be honest, that he's... I mean, he was a former first-round pick himself, wasn't he?
Yep.
Yeah. I've just mentioned all those things before. I don't know what he does well. He's not... He's just sort of seemingly, and it might be sound a bit harsh, but he's a bit of a nothing sort of player. He's not outstanding at any...
But you do need those nothing.
Yeah, you do. You do. I don't disagree with that. But as I said, if he is your sixth sort of, you know, banana in the position that he's asked to play, that's great. But I don't know if he's got the capabilities to step up and be some sort of frontline player.
Foxdog 50, one question and one statement question. I want you to both answer the following. You too, Kingy. I agree with both of you regarding what position we'll finish on the ladder. Start of the year, I was all in trying to land Bailey Smith for 2025, but should we go after him now? Personally, can't see us being contenders in the next 3 to 4 years. Instead of bringing him in and probably have to give up our first round pick and also our second, should we just go to the draft for the coming years and pick the best kids to fill our team needs?
I'd say yes to that.
And Matthew Lloyd mentioned this
We need a midfielder who's got some zip and got a bit of size, which is not always easy to find, but we don't need another sort of accumulating you know, ball winner who's a bit on the dour side. Mm. We've got heaps of them.
Now, a statement. I know you'll 100% discuss this before questions. I'm sure Sportsbet will be already cashing on this. We better be playing Manor and Hardy this week. What the more can they do both to put their hand up? Enough is enough. The only way Hardy can show what he can do is to give him a game. He at least deserves a game.
Oh, I think so. I think he's had 2 months of solid form, probably being what, in the Cats' best four players in the VFL?
He'd be leading their best and fairest.
Each and every week. I think that's a body of work that suggests you deserve a crack. And, I've sort of end a story written and authorised by me.
Howler 41, lost by under a goal. Big part of that at selection. Cannot play so many tools. Smashed in the middle versus Suns, but dropped our statistically second best clearance player in Parfitt. Couldn't have kicked inside 50 worse in the final quarter when we had 24 inside 50s for 2 goals. If Mitch Hardy isn't selected this week, he may as well walk back to Adelaide. He's not Gary Ablett, but surely he offers something different. I mentioned Peatling last week from the Giants. He led the game for centre clearances. Something not right when Conway led tackles when subbed off. Surely we can test Clark's suspension. What a joke. Well, they didn't. Suns aside, we've lost 3 games by a total of 18 points to 3 top 6 contenders, but it shows we need everything going right to be anywhere near it, and I'm not sure that'll happen. Conway beaten by Briggs and Stratton, but at least he continues to learn and try.
Yeah, I agree with... Who wrote that?
That was Howler 41, sorry.
He's on the money. We need to get him on as a special comment. I agree with all that.
Do you reckon it's Neilty in disguise?
Doubt it. Neilty doesn't make that much sense. I agree that. Can you just read the last bits of that?
Oh, I've got to go back.
I'll go back because I agree with. There was a bit in there that was, I think, very pertinent. Towards the end.
Something not right when Conway led tackles when subbed off.
No, not that.
Suns aside, we've lost 3 games by a total of 18 points to 3 top 6 contenders.
Yeah,
but it shows we need everything going right to be anywhere near it.
Good point. That is 100%. The really good teams. And when Geelong was a really good team in 2022, they could find a way when things weren't going well for them. And that is the trait of, you know, when Richmond were flying, when Hawthorn was at its best, Collingwood, Sydney are doing it now. They're overcome, you know, the Bulldogs. Geelong do need absolutely everything going their way. And when it does go their way, they are a difficult team to beat. But when it's not, and it's not going to each and every week, they don't have the capacity or the manpower, particularly in the midfield, to overcome that. So I reckon that's a really good point.
Long time, first time. Morning, boys. I think we all know where we're at. If 2023 was the hangover year, 2024 is the start of our transition. Going to be an interesting few years as we lose players and the older boys start to influence less and less. The obvious is that we need a quality season inside mid-bull to help through this transition. Don't think this will be hardy. Cats fans love to jump on these solid VFL sloggers and insist they're the second coming, i.e. Constable Cooper Stevens. Big step up from VFL consistent AFL star. So, who's on the market that we can poach this off-season in that magic 23-to-27-year-old range? Been rumblings. Wines would be open based on being fringe at Port.
Well, he's nearly 30.
Yeah, I was going to say, Wines isn't in the
23-to-27. No, we don't want to be going anything over 23, I reckon, is maybe 24 at a stretch, is not where Cats want to be shopping.
I don't know what's available.
I'm not across...
I'd love Hugh McCluggage to wear a Geelong jumper. I do like. I like watching
Geelong. Don't need Hugh McCluggage. They've got enough Hugh McCluggages.
Yeah.
He's not quick. He doesn't kick goals. He doesn't finish in front of goal. He gets a lot of the ball. He's never a racking up 30 sort of play. He can. Geelong. He's just not a player.
He's not coming anyway.
So. No, but
he's just one I like watching.
He's a serial misser in front of goal. Serial.
He is. Cat is 28. I was thinking today, how are we feeling about Cam Guthrie's 4-year deal given to him in 2021? I do recall at the time Benny was suggesting we should have traded him and got ourselves some decent picks or a player.
Yes.
And at the time I agreed. But then we win the 2022 flag and Guthrie was important in that. He actually was joint best and fairest. On the flip side, he hasn't been able to get on the park in 23 and now looks the same in 24. I guess we call the deal a win because of the flag, but it could have been a rubbish deal if we didn't. But if he doesn't get back to full fitness this year, or God forbid next, I think some eyebrows might be raised again.
How old's Cam Guthrie?
He'd be 30.
You have to be 31.
Yeah, debut in 2011.
It's very difficult to get back to your best when you've been out for an extended period of time at that age. It's not like he's 25. And he took some time to find his feet in that role. So it'll be really interesting to see what happens over the remainder of this year and then obviously into next, whether he can get back to it. Because we're always banking on him being the player that he was when he won the Best and Fairest. He may never get back to that or close to it.
No, 32 in August. Probably missed the boat here. Four losses in a row, first time since 2006. Such an incredible achievement. I know Hardy and Manor are unlikely to be the difference makers, but intent and desperation are real motivators. Surely at least one can get a run this week with Blitz and Bruin, yes, both enforced outs. Actually, not Bruin, it's Clark. Daz, do we bookend our era with large wins over Richmond, or is there more to come?
Yeah, well, we're hopefully winning on Saturday night. Yeah, we've got to
if you're not winning on Saturday night,
we've got to get some players in, 100%.
Yep. So wait and see what happens there.
Hardy's won.
Yep.
I'd love to see him debut.
We'll find out tonight.
What number does he wear?
41.
41?
Yep.
Who? Shane Mumford. Won 41.
Name the premiership player who started his career in 41.
The premiership player that started his career in 41. Geez. Shane Mumford. He won a premiership, didn't he?
At Sydney.
Yeah.
Josh Hunt.
He did too. I reckon Jesse Stringer wore 41.
Jesse Stringer did wear 41.
Can you name any other 41s?
Other 41s for the Cats over the journey. I'm battling now.
You can't.
I'm battling now, Benny. Do you want me to go and have a look?
You're struggling. 41 for... I can name Stringer.
Yep.
Yeah, you're right. Josh Hunt.
Started in.
Mitch Hardy. He's another one.
Oh, Jermaine Jones.
Oh, the R&B singer.
Before he went, he's actually going all right at the end.
Toured with Rod Stewart. Sounds like an R&B singer, doesn't it? Jermaine Jones. Barry, it's got that feel to it.
Barry Eddy, who was a local star.
Barry Eddy.
Played 14 games in the 70s.
Yeah, right.
I think he was from...
War 41.
War 41. Gary Phillips, for three games in 1990.
From South Barwon, I reckon he was. Gary Phillips.
Was he?
Yes.
I didn't think he was a local recruit.
I'm pretty sure he was. I reckon he was from South Barwon. Well, it wasn't South Barwon back in those days. It was Barwon.
Was he from Barwon?
Yeah.
Let me have a look.
I'm pretty sure he was.
Geelong.
Because, I might be wrong, but I've got this feeling that
he was actually recruited from Old Halebury in the VAFA.
Right, but did he play at Barwon?
Might have afterwards.
Maybe he did. Maybe that's where I got the wires got a little bit crossed.
All right, hang on. He was recruited from Old Halebury.
Mm.
He was delisted and then redrafted again by Geelong in the 1992 AFL preseason draft.
Right.
So maybe he went and played with
South Barwon.
No, South Barwon would have been South Barwon.
Well, I just have this feeling that he did. Maybe he didn't. Anyway.
Right. And other number 41s, yeah. Ross Christensen.
Oh, yeah.
Is he related to Marty Damien?
I think so.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
So there's another Christensen that played for Geelong. He played two games under Tom Hafey in
1983. He's their seventh cousin, yeah.
Right. So they're the blokes that wore 41 for the majority of their time at Geelong. I think Steve Hocking started in 41.
He did, 100%.
And Josh Hunt started in 41.
Yeah, Steve Hocking did wear 41 and then went to 1.
Yep.
Yeah.
And Josh Hunt.
Josh went to 8.
To the 8.
Who did he replace in the 8?
So he would have worn it in about, he would have taken it over in about 08 or 09. Or did he wear it in the flag? No, he wore it in the flag. Who had the 8 before him? Did he take it? No, Ronnie Burns was gone by then.
Rotten Ron, was it?
No, I think Ron. Nah, I reckon there was somebody between Ron.
Otherwise known as Long Ron.
No, let me have a look who wore 8 before Ron. Actually, no. David Haynes.
Oh, from WA. First round pick of the Eagles.
Yes.
Yes. He was useless. He was like an ashtray on a motorbike when he came to the Cats. He was putrid.
19 games for 15 goals for David Haynes.
He wasn't there. We've done some very bad trades with West Coast across the years.
Mitch White.
We got Mitch White, who was on about 50,000 a kick. That was one of Cookie's great signings when he came over. We brought Mitch White with him. It was horrendous. And we got the big Schfink there too. Brett Spinks, who was refitted with a reversing beeper when he got here because he was that big. And he did kick a couple of goals one game. But we've done some pretty ordinary dealings with the Eagles.
I tell you who was a great number 8.
Here we go.
The Danny Brush.
Robert Scott. Yeah, he was.
And do you know what? Every week that passes, Bailey's starting to look like the old man.
He is, yeah. He's not a bad little player, Bailey Scott. He will be very good. He's just improving all the time, King. He has our wee.
Scott Robert, 132 games for 164 goals.
I know, and he played about his equal number of games for North.
At North.
And in the Premiership.
Yeah, he did play in the 96 flag. Yeah, missed out on the 99 flag despite playing 16 games. Played 113 at the Roos for 58 goals, so he's less of a goal kicker at North as he was at the Pussycats.
Yes.
And that infamous one where he had the shot after the siren against the Swans, where they reckon the Swans were actually shaking the goalpost.
Right.
And the ball hit the
post.
That's right. Back in 88.
Yeah. Dane Rampey mounted a post, didn't he?
He did in a game, yeah, against Essendon.
have you ever mounted a post
to try
and touch a ball?
No, I haven't, Benny. On that note, Saturday night.
Yeah, looking forward to it.
Neely's going to the past players.
So we've got Troy Selwood.
Troy Selwood.
That'll be good.
Looking forward to that.
Cats, surely, if they lose on Saturday night, then they need to start rethinking.
James Kelly, pregame.
Yeah. Pops.
Your quiz.
He wore number 9.
Yep. Can you do some quiz work?
Yes, I did. I had 8 questions last week.
Before we do it.
Yes. I'll produce some really, really sort of in-depth arrangements.
We'll get a chance to talk about some of the youngsters too, because either Mark Corrigan, the VFL coach, mm-hmm. or Nigel Lappin, who's head of development, yep. is going to join us as well for a quick chat after the VFL. So the VFL, again, a curtain raiser. They bounce, I think, at 3:30. Into the AFL bouncing at 7:30.
Do you reckon it'll be sort of hard-hitting yarn event style?
I don't think so. Looking forward to it though, Benny.
Yeah. Kerr's Hire, local for 40 years.